You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache?
With the games on the line,
people tip their hands.
The NFL trusts Duracell Quantum to power their game day communication.
And guess who else trusts Duracell? My sexy podcast, guys! We're back! Yeah, that's right. Shut your car door and listen. It is currently snowing outside here in the Upper West Side, so I want you guys to internalize that feeling that I had walking over to this studio, which is why? Why? I want you to constantly think, why are we even living in this tantric tundra? Now that you've let that pass through, I'm going to lift your spirits with this.
Put it up the gut. Get out of the pocket.
Duracell Quantum lasts up to 35% longer than the competition.
That's right. Duracell. Guys, we have such a goody guestie, and I'm so excited that she's here right now. Put your all of the things that you own in your house in one corner, put them all together for Maeve Higgins!
Oh, Birdsong.
Birdsong. That's right, Maeve.
Here she is.
Nice to meet you. I don't know you that well, so this is gonna be pretty good, I think.
Taylor!
Yeah, but it's good because I don't know you at all. Lots of times when I have people on the podcast, I know them a lot. But this is, guys, you are hearing the real life getting to know you, okay?
Could be a big mistake.
It could. I mean, I could make mistakes, but then the listener will learn what not to do.
Yeah.
Do you like me?
When I'm like, thank you for giving me this opportunity to espouse my white supremacist views.
Yes. Oh, God, I'm already not smart enough for this casual conversation.
No, I don't think
espouse.
That's a smart or a dumb thing.
I'm gonna espouse. What does espouse mean? Disclose?
Yeah, like
or marry. Espouse in French.
Yeah, right. No, but it means espouse is like to like promote.
Promote. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. We are already. Now I could show you incredible things. You're already showing me incredible things. You just moved here. How long ago?
At the end of January.
End of January.
Yeah, almost a year.
Cool.
So when I got here, this weather was like, it was in the grip.
Yes.
And the city was like in the grip of this weather.
Like the worst thing to do and the best thing to do. It's like a big slap in the face right after you get off the plane.
Yeah. But it was strange because like the city was much quieter. Like, you know how people just like stay inside and like, I got such a weird impression of New York because it was like
post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. Nobody was like out. I live near Prospect Park in Brooklyn. Nobody was out. Everyone was just like everyone's like all bundled up in like dark. There's like little dark muffins walking around everywhere.
Then how did it make you feel having just moved across? Because you moved from England, right?
Yeah, I was in London before this. And I was just like, this isn't New York. Like, because I was imagining New York
this is the photocopy.
Like so busy and like everyone on the train, you know, but it just felt like a quiet place when I got here. It was just because like the snow muffles everything.
Yeah. Well, no one's playing in the park in the January time.
Yeah. And then when the summer came, it was incredible. Like all the picnics that everybody has in the park.
People.
And yeah, it was very
people
cool.
People are good looking here. But also in England, lots of good looking people.
I don't.
You're like, I beg to differ on both. You people are heinous.
I don't notice what people look like. So.
Oh, shit.
No, I think definitely.
I espouse a lot of judgment.
Right. Like, it's funny, I went to collect my parents, they came to visit from Ireland, so there's like all Irish people coming off the flight.
Yeah, shout out to the using the word collect that way, I like it.
And then they were like, yeah, New Yorkers, basically anywhere where there's like
wait,
a
so
bit
your
of
parents
ethnic,
were like, hey, this is good looking, or were they, would it?
No, I just noticed the difference because I was like, here's a big bunch of Irish people with our like red faces and our like, you know, funny inbred looks. And among
are Irish
like,
people inbred? My wife is Irish and my mother-in-law Bernadette is very from Kerry.
She's from Kerry.
From Kerry, yeah. Straight out of Kerry.
So, no, they're not inbred, but like, there's a certain look to an Irish person.
Yeah.
That you get when it's like a monoculture. You know, like here, there's like so much diversity. So I think that like strengthens the like good-lookingness.
Yeah. I mean, also, it's just so expensive to live in both London and New York. So, like,
yeah.
Generally speaking, there's, like, studies about good-looking people getting all sorts of advantages just from being, like, having a good wink
God.
And a smile.
Oh, my God. That's interesting.
Right?
No, but it makes total sense to me.
Yeah, like, I love that I taught it to you.
The people that, like, because the people that come to New York and that come to London, like, I guess people who come to cities, they're, like, generally
they
more
have a little
ambitious
more confidence.
And they're, yeah.
Confidence
yeah.
and ambition. Yeah, and having a good little smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because think about, like, if you don't have a good smile growing up, then people probably overlook you all the time. I am, you know, like, my little cousins that are, like, a little more charming. And maybe it's not necessary. I'm not saying like my good looking cousins, but charm has to do with good looks, right?
Yeah. But I've definitely had the experience that like somebody can be really good looking and then like the more I get to know them, if they're vapid or if they're like not great.
Yeah. There's the other thing where sometimes you skate by on your looks and then you don't have to develop the personality and then you're just garbage.
See, I used to be a big believer in that. I used to, when I was like a furious, horrific looking teenage girl, I was like,
you're
all the beautiful girls. I was like, the beautiful, at least I've got a personality. And it's like, first of all, your personality isn't that great because you just like rage in your room and imagine
raging in your room mean?
Just like walking up and down, like thinking about how you'd get your revenge on people who like aren't.
This is you in your room
you.
With a baseball bat.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, I think this one's gonna be better. Yeah, this. Just
yeah.
Wave.
That's me.
Fucking pretty girls. Fucking.
And then I figured out, and then like now I know loads of pretty girls, loads of my sisters are beautiful and they are also got better personalities than me. They're funnier and cooler because
you know
they didn't waste all that time.
Fuck those sisters. JK. We love every kind of good looking and non-good looking person here at My Sexy Podcast, sponsored by Duracell. Duracell, go long, go hard, get that energy. Get it. Magic,
madness. Thank you for the free batteries, by the way.
Oh, no problem. There's plenty more where that came from. We have a huge bag of them.
Yeah.
Just put your hand in.
If you had a choice, who would you like to sponsor your podcast?
Oh, such a good question. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Could you imagine? Every episode is
just
sponsored by Jennifer Love Hewitt.
If she just sent you $5 every week.
She doesn't need, I was going to say, to revitalize her career, but she's been like working so people don't have respect for her. She's obviously was the person that made me like made my vagina quiver when I was younger.
She's
and beautiful. Then like I didn't know I was gay, but I was just like, that's the classic friendship vagina quivers.
She taught you that you were gay.
Yeah, by doing this.
What's this?
Oh my God, I'm trying to find a clip of Jennifer Love Hewitt talking, but it's...
Is she speaking French?
Yeah, this is a French... Oh my God, that's so weird.
Does she speak French?
She doesn't speak French. That was dubbed.
Oh.
Today's episode is sponsored by Jennifer Love Hewitt's French voiceover artist.
Because there's this very... This video of Bradley Cooper speaking French, and it's weirdly compelling.
He can speak
yeah,
French?
Yeah, he can.
Est-ce que tu peux parler français?
Non.
Alors,
excusez-moi.
Okay, I want to get back to a post-apocalyptic New York, January. Maeve Higgins has arrived. What was the process like for you? I'm from Canada. I moved here about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
But I want to hear from you I guess we can start with the whole legal process because a lot of people don't know that if you're not an American and you're coming to be a comic in America, before you even make money, you have to get, I mean, to enable you to make money and
to
also,
work at all.
Also just to
yeah.
do any shows, any showcases at all, you need a visa.
Yeah, because you're not allowed to do a show if you don't have a visa. So even
yes.
if you're not getting paid, you still can't do a show, which I think surprises a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I got a visa through like the... There's this festival called the Kansas City Irish Festival. I don't know if you've
really?
Ever been invited to play.
Several times. And I keep saying, contrary to popular belief.
I want to make it, guys. I'm just... it's a cute festival. It's in Kansas City, which is like the exact middle of America. Like,
yeah.
And they actually played there last year in, I think it was in August or something. And I was living in London, not having a great time. And I was like, yeah, of course. And then they got me a year-long visa just for like to do these two little shows.
Yeah. And London not having a great time because of it just wasn't.
I just like wasn't really enjoying it. I only moved there. I just lived there for a year, and like it's like a very spread out city. I wasn't really having fun. I wasn't really like doing
you didn't
much
find
work
like a niche of friendies.
Not really. Yeah. No, I was like living with my good friend, and I had like a couple of friends. Like, but I wasn't. I always wanted to move here as well as the other thing. So London was like kind of a stand-in.
Yeah,
which never really works. I think if you don't go to a place with like an open mind, like I was just like, oh, I'll just wait it out here while I'm waiting to go to New York.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
so you never, you were, it was just a girl you were fucking. I mean, or a guy you were,
yeah,
fucking.
Yeah, and like not really wholeheartedly.
Enjoying the sex.
Yeah, no, I was just like.
You were just like, my man Bye. Coming in from the U.S. Navy soon, and I do need a warm D, but I'll settle for this tepid stocking. One. This analogy is perfect.
You know what? I would say it wasn't even like a girl that I was fucking. It was more like a
you do sex with guys,
friendship.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or okay. Like a guy.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't having sex with London at all.
Yeah.
I was just having like a frustrating friendship.
That, not
like,
agreeing
neither
on
of
Netflix
us were.
Movies to watch.
Yeah.
And then just like staying and like looking, like just constantly looking through the cues, being like, "What? You don't want to watch this? Well, then I won't watch. No." Just one year of that with London.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We just didn't agree on the important things.
Well, I'm so glad that happened, because now you're here and you're so funny.
And I prefer it here. Like I do. I love it here. Like, I mean, these last few weeks have been tricky because of like what happened in the Eric Garner case and like the CIA
totally.
Report. Like I've been like, whoa.
Yeah.
And also like that happened in New York as well. I kind of separate America from New York sometimes, like, and I think, you know, New York is like
the fact that it happened in Staten Liberal. Island was like a shock.
Yeah. So I mean, that's like how naive I am, like, but I just
no, but it's true. A lot of, I mean, there are cities, I think, like, I mean, I can't list all the cities, but there are these pockets within America that are the reason why this is this place that you know attracts people like you and me. That I don't know how you felt about Ireland, but I love Canada, and I love where I grew up in Toronto. I mean, obviously it's the business, it's the industry as well, but it's, you know, America is this amazing place. But you take, it's interesting that we were doing the relationship analogy, because you've got to take the good with the bad, and the bad is like just so shockingly bad and mm-hmm. foreign to the America that attracted us.
Yeah, it is, because the America, yeah.
God, thank God I got through that sentence.
No,
I had zero confidence that I would land.
That's how I feel, and I think it's well articulated. And it's also difficult for me as like an outsider to, because it's like I don't want to be critical. America has been very welcoming to me, and like there's so much about this country that's like so inspiring and great. So I don't. I think it's very easy to sit in judgment, and in Europe, people do that a lot, where they're like, "Oh, America has got all these problems, and America and guns, and America." And, you know, it's very easy to point the finger, but it's like, you know, when you're here and like the and it happens, it's just it was eye opening, definitely. The past few weeks
and you feel the way the people feel too.
Yeah,
so
totally.
Oftentimes you're talking about America, but what you're talking about is a general generally what happens with like the larger amount of power and money, the larger the more open you are to corruption, and that plays out in every single country. I think it plays out, we're luckier in Canada because we have less, so there's less to pillage or like undercover.
Yeah, my brother is
smoke
in
mirrors.
Dubai.
Yeah.
And like Dubai is
super corrupt.
So stratified. Like, you know, every Pakistani man is a taxi driver.
Shout out to Dubai, you mysterious fucking beast.
Like,
what's he doing in Dubai?
He's a hydrogeologist. So he's like,
naturally.
Water. Yeah. Like, he's just like looking
he's
for water. And yeah. So, like, there's huge wealth there and there's huge inequality. So, yeah. I think you have a point about those things being related and like with great power and all that, you know, but like mainly I'm having a great time here.
Yeah, cool. And you knew people before you moved?
I had friends. I have a manager here, and
cool. Who's your manager?
Friends, Olivia Wingate.
So wait, she's with Avalon.
She's Avalon?
Too. Yeah, my manager's with Avalon just recently.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. We're sisters.
We are sisters. We get along. When we have a sitcom, we'll be forced to employ each other. Who's at the door? It's Avalon artist Maeve Higgins. I don't think that that happens, but I really welcome it to happen between the two of us.
So are you going to go to the party on...
I can't because it's my wife's birthday. We're going to go upstate and we're going to play in the wilderness.
Oh, cool.
Even though it's going to be cold, we'll probably just drink a lot of hot toddies.
Nice.
And hopefully celebrate the fact that I have my green card because of my green card interview this Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what, have you had an interview already or...
This is the last step. So it's been like a long, as you know, like you put together binders and binders of information about yourself and get everyone to write
letters.
And so hopefully this is the end of that long journey.
That's great.
Thank you.
It's called vajazzling.
Yes.
And I'm just curious what that is. I have no idea.
It is bedazzling, but for your
private
hoo-ha.
Right. Your private.
She can't
I do
even
wish
say
that she'd start saying
yeah.
Not hoo-ha, but
she's
vagina.
She's like 35 That's, years old, and she's
I,
like,
that was
yeah,
the
hoo-ha.
First time that she's not been likable in my eyes. But that is how I think my green card interview will play out. I just hope it's so, because these are the things, this is the nervous, I mean, like, you know, you think about auditions and, like, you know, gatekeepers or whatever. It's uh-huh. like, does someone like you or does someone not like you? And I know that there's, like, rules that, you know, if I'm X amount of success, then they should let me in.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm not like a huge, you know, it's not like an undeniable, I haven't sold out.
Are you getting your green card on the basis that you're married to an American?
No, I mean, that's what I could and should have done now. In retrospect, but because of the timing of everything, I got married 2 years ago. We got engaged 3 years ago. I started the green card process like 3.5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
So and a half years ago, I did it on the merit of my my supreme talent.
Yeah.
Talent! but
yeah,
now, I mean, like, it would be a sure thing. It's like, yes, you are married to this woman, but I kind of like the fact that it's my own, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm doing it myself.
Totally.
The other thing is because it wasn't until DOMA got overruled that this that being like married and being gay would count. The first year that we were married, we filed our state taxes as married, and then our federal taxes as single.
Oh wow!
Yeah, interesting
facts. 2 years ago, 3 years, two years ago that was.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Gay, 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 gay. I did get actually a message from a listener of the podcast. I don't know the name, but thank you for writing me, but also told me, like, I love this podcast. Just just be okay with conversation and stop doing so many
stop
sound effects.
Sounds.
But
yeah,
other listeners love sound effects.
Right. I think... Some of them, I mean, so far, I like the seal. I like some of them I didn't get the relevance of.
No, no.
But I think
yeah.
it's like exclamation, right? Like it's like
that's
a start,
what, yeah.
stop and start again or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the tweens in.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get them interested.
keep doing it.
Oh my God, look at that face. You look like
I like
my
this
next
song break because it feels like she's in the room and we're just allowing her to talk every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we're opening a closet and Taylor Swift is in there singing her heart out.
Which is a fact, but Taylor's people don't want it to go public.
No.
She's in the closet with the batteries.
Yeah. Jennifer Love Hewitt paid her $11 to do this.
Thank you so much.
But aren't those letters excruciating? So you had to get the Alien of Extraordinary Ability letters?
Oh, yeah. You've got to go when you do. So when you do this legal process for the listeners, you've got to go to anyone who's got like a cool letterhead that works at like a TV network or just a recognizable brand.
Industry.
And say like, hey, yo, if you like me, maybe you can write a letter about me, which is like the war. It's like, you know, picture going up to like the coolest person in school and asking them to sign your yearbook and then just make that an actual horrifying situation.
But Sabrina, it's more life. Than even signing your yearbook because they have to say that you're like a genius.
Extraordinary.
Basically.
Yeah. Because it's got to be an extraordinary, unique talent that no one else has.
Yeah.
Which, of course, for you and I is the case.
Naturally. Yeah, that was kind of horrible. It's a humbling process, isn't it, when you're in a new country and you have to be like I feel like that with obviously for a visa, you need to do that for a visa. You need to literally like introduce yourself to people and be like, these are the reasons, and if you don't mind, then please.
Yeah.
But also like you need to do, I need to do it like making friends with people. Like sometimes I'm like, just like feel like I'm like butting up against people, like a little billy goat or something, just being like, here's why I'm worth knowing.
Yeah.
And that's great.
But you are, but I knew of you before you, before we met at that show. I just knew your name because in comedy, you know the name Maeve Higgins.
Well, I think that's the really lucky thing about our job, isn't it? Because our reputation precedes us, and like that's really lucky because I also feel like, and I think I'm fine with saying this, I've been doing comedy for a long time, that like if I like somebody's comedy, like I'll generally like them. If I don't like their comedy, I probably won't like them.
Yeah.
So I feel lucky when I go to a new city or like to a festival where there's lots of international, I kind of know like who I'll get along with.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, not that I'm strategic about it, but it's just like, that's my type of person.
Those are the dudes with the killer rape jokes.
Like, exactly.
I know exactly who I'm talking to.
You know, like, exactly. Like, that's the other thing, that it's like probably going to be a small minority of people that I will click with, you know, and like, I'm fine with that.
Do you, what is your relationship to comedy now? Like, I've also been, so we've been at it for a long time. It's, I found it really difficult moving to New York and, dealing with the pace at which people work here, and just like, it's like a given that people are out doing three or four shows a night, and that's just, that's of course, I mean, of course you would do that. And for me, I've been doing it, I started when I was 16, I'm 29 years old now, so 13 years. And again, like your relationship, my relationship with comedy, it's got, you know, sometimes you're having great sex and sometimes you're not. And it just was difficult for me, I guess, to figure out how to plug into this pace here without feeling shitty.
I totally see that. And it's weird because part of me is like, oh, I should be doing that, like four shows a night or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I write a lot and I can't do both. Like I can't write all day and then gig all night.
Yeah.
And like, also the fact that you don't get paid to do stand-up here is like blows my mind.
I mean, yeah, especially in the winter, like sometimes, like, you know, put like leaving the couch and my dog and just like going out into the cold, the fucking cold,
to do a spot
and to think that you're doing it. I mean, it's like, it makes you feel, on the best of days, you feel like a fucking boss because you're like, I'm so hardworking. But then, like, you know, long subway rides,
definitely
showing up to shows with like four or five
there's
people.
Nobody there and stuff. It's just like, I feel like I put in that time in Ireland when I was like coming up in Ireland, and now I'm here and I'm like, okay, like I'm willing to do a bit, but I'm not, I can't do like three shows, like I can't do that, like I'm writing all day and stuff, and I don't have like that same hunger that I see in young comics.
That's what I'm talking I guess that's what I'm talking about too, is I had a guilt around not having that hunger when I first moved here. And now I've kind of just realized, like just matured in and gotten more secure about like, yeah, you know what? That's completely fine that I don't want to be on stage three, four times a night.
Yeah.
Or that I'm fine with doing, with going out three, four, five times a week. I'm generally out at least five, six nights.
Yeah.
And then on those nights having a couple shows, and that's fine. And I do have to push myself because that's just the, I mean, like we're so lucky to have this job and that's the one thing that I do have to do. I do have to like get my fucking boots on and slush through.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, actually, like for me, sometimes it used to be the case that it was kind of like exercise, right? That I'd be like, I'll never regret a show. Like, you know, once I get out there and do it, like, I'll never be sorry that I did it.
Yeah.
But in the past few years, it's not like that.
Like, I've regretted every single show. I've regretted every
I need to quit comedy. But yeah, like my relationship with comedy has gotten more, like it used to be like a compulsion where I had to like to figure out what I was even thinking or feeling, I'd need to like go and work it out on stage.
Yeah.
But like I'm like 33 now, so I've like worked out other ways of doing that, like healthier ways.
So
I don't need it as much, but I still need it, like, and I still really like I really appreciate the outlet, you know, and it's like such a direct, great way. But even that's changing. Like, I read this interesting interview of Chris Rock, and he was talking about how everybody films everything, so it's really hard to workshop.
Yeah,
he's
doing such great interviews.
Yeah, I think this one was in New York Magazine, but
Sure. That was a really good one.
And it's so difficult
because people expect the final,
and people are so politically correct, and they're just like, what, you know, when you're trying to work something out on stage,
yeah,
they don't really accept that. Like, it's just,
yeah, it's such a scary thing that I think that, well, I haven't said anything and I've just yammed. That was a shout out to the 10 second yammer. What I meant to say that whole time was that that's a part of being on stage more and more in New York, that I'm getting more confident to be okay with the audience being not okay for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's because I definitely before, well, there was also a period where I wasn't coming out on stage and that obviously stunted my writing. But in that period, you know, before, between moving from Canada to New York, and then I was also working in TV a bit, so I didn't have as much time, but I'll admit that I was just doing a showcase set over and over again, and there's nothing exciting
What's
about
that. What's the point of yeah. doing that? Like, I see people doing that, and I'm like, why are you doing 2 shows a night, 3 shows a night, if you're just, like, repeating the same stuff?
Yeah.
But then it's like, when I try and, like, this is, like, fixating now, but I did try and talk about, like, my feelings around police brutality in New York on stage.
Yeah.
And it was just like tumbleweed.
Well, but that's, I think, also a tragedy plus time thing. Because it's like, if you were trying to work out the towers falling September 12th, mm-hmm. 2001. Although,
but
you
it's
know,
like,
it's
what else are you
going
to talk about, though?
Yeah,
like,
because it's the elephant in the room if you don't talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I did a set. I wrote about this and, like, on... I wrote about it because I couldn't understand, like, what happened. I did a set in Williamsburg last week. And it was on the Wednesday, like, when the guy wasn't indicted.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to talk about it because I was like, there's protests on the street. Like, everyone is thinking about this.
Yeah, you can't not talk about.
Yeah. And the previous comedians hadn't talked about it, which is, like, they're right not to as well. And, like, I totally understand. Just get up and be funny.
But
that
it's,
helps. And if that's what you do, yeah. that's what you need to do, whatever. But, yeah, I tried to talk about it. But there's just a very... I don't know. I remember Colin Murphy, who's like, he runs the comedy club in Belfast. And
okay.
obviously things have been fine in Belfast for a long time, but like for a long time they weren't. Mm-hmm. And he said every week, if there was like an atrocity, you know, like a bombing, or even if soldiers had been killed or something happened,
mm-hmm.
that was when there was lines out the door of the comedy club. That's when people really needed to get in
Escape.
There and have a release. And
yeah.
yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I thought about that
so
too.
So was the outlook, though, that so we're going to try and address, I guess, like, if you can address it in a funny way, then of course. And if you can't, then, like, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I'm someone here. I'm up here under the guise of, like, you know, talking about what's up.
Yeah.
And to ignore the fact that I walked by, you know, 30 protests
yeah.
on the way over.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting because it's also like...
You'd have to take a very weird path to walk by 30 separate protests. But
like, why didn't they all just join together?
Hey, you guys know that there's someone on 5th
They're
and 6th
like, oh, no, we're protesting
too.
Something different. It's parking and Park Slope. We can't.
Dear Sabrina, there's no way that you went by 30 protests. okay.
But yeah, so... I think I do about like 3 or 4 gigs a week, maybe.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, like, that's a good one.
Yeah, and I do a regular show, which I think is really good to have.
What's that one?
It's only monthly. It's in Union Hall.
Oh, cool. That's a great, great venue.
It's so nice. Yeah, I love it. With John Ronson, who's a writer, and we do, like, we talk about being, it's called I'm New Here, and it's about being new in New York.
Oh, great.
We're going to ask you to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's about people who aren't from here.
Cool.
Yeah.
Which is everyone.
I know. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, we sometimes have New Yorkers if they have like a slant on things. So it's
never let New Yorkers in.
We had this lady, Susanna Callahan, who's the writer, and she got this like weird brain condition, like encephalitis in her brain, where the kind of, it made her have all, she wrote a book about it called Fire in the Brain. It was like a big bestseller.
Okay.
It made her have like all these, you know, really serious symptoms, like some of which were like she went into psychosis and, you know, tons of weird stuff. She saw all these like colors.
Shit.
And so she came on the show and talked about how she had lived in New York for a really long time, but then because all this weird stuff was happening in her brain, she didn't recognize the city. Like, she's walking through Times Square and the M&Ms were like, hello.
What?
Like, yeah.
Could you imagine?
No, like, she talked about it and she's like this petite blonde.
Hello.
She's all better now. And then
yeah.
And she was just talking about like this thing that happened to her brain that like sent her spinning. And so it was like she was new here too, because everything was unfamiliar.
Oh man.
Like, you don't want that to happen in Times Square.
Or anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
Especially when you're paying so much rent to be here, to not be aware of it.
Oh, stop, I know. I have to move out of my place in January.
You do?
Because this is the other funny thing. Like, the housing situation here is just...
wacky pataki. Oh, you can't get, like, your home isn't really your home, because if it's owned by a management company from year to year, they'll just be like, oh, yeah, it's a $600 increase.
Yeah.
And there are laws, of course, but they know how to wiggle around the laws.
Yeah, I think
they've got it like rent stable. Like, my last apartment was rent stabilized for like $6,000, but we were renting it for $2,000. So then they were like, well, we could put it anywhere up to, like, we're giving you a huge deal, because somehow they got it. Yeah. So what's your situation at
your
place?
It was rent stabilized to $6,000.
Yeah, like that. I mean, just some strange thing that corporations are able to do. Jeez. And that will never be able to...
Like, I'm okay. I like where I live. My landlord lives above me, but like, they're putting in a new bathroom, so we have to move out for January. So...
Oh, just for a little bit?
Just for a month.
Oh, that's great. And you should definitely keep that apartment that is a relationship with a human person, because that's a rare one in New York.
Oh, yeah. Like, he lives over us in the building, and he has a daughter who's also called Maeve, which is an unusual name even in Ireland.
Yeah, you're set. You're not getting your rent increased for years.
But that's weird, though, because sometimes... I hear her mom like yell at her, and she's like, Maeve, why did you do that? And I'm like, what? How did you know?
And it takes you back to the room where you're punching things?
Yeah, it's just like a disembodied critical voice of a parent.
So you were angsty when you were young, like all of us, kind of?
Yeah, like
you, were
human,
you gothy?
Human being. No, I mean, I listened to like Smashing Pumpkins and stuff like that, but I never like expressed it. I wasn't brave enough to like go full Marilyn Manson.
You were always good girl, good girl?
Yeah, I was like, I was.
Did you
like,
do any bad thing? Did you ever steal?
No, I never stole. Never.
Never
like, smoked.
You never stole. You never smoked.
Maybe I did steal some nail polish when I was a teenager.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
This is otherwise too.
Yeah, I did. I did. I took something from what's the shop called?
Maybe you'll remember when your landlord's yelling at her daughter.
Hey! Like, I'll put it back. Yeah, I did. I think I stole nail polish.
That's the...
Oh, I had a motorbike, yeah.
Chainsaw of the mind. I know. Okay, I get it. That one was not worth it. Sometimes they're not worth it.
I had a hog. What did you steal?
Oh, I stole lots of things. I was just like, I think you kind of reach an age where, for me, something went off in my mind where I was like, wait, I could just put anything in my pockets and my sleeves. But not from like, I had the moral compass to not do it like a mom and pop type situation, but like Canada's Wonderland, oof.
What is that?
That's like a Six Flags or an amusement park.
Oh, and what would you go take? In there.
Just like everything, just like everything. Perfect, just running around. We stole a disposable camera to take pictures of the things that we stole.
Oh.
And it was a good time. But then one time I got caught with my dad stealing from a grocery store, and it was the worst.
He caught you, or the manager caught you?
The store owner caught me. And then we were walked out, because I always had an excuse in my mind for if I got caught. But I never thought about what happens if you walk out of the store, then what's your excuse? Because my excuse in the store was like, it was gum. And I was like, I was just going to put this on the counter and trick my dad into buying it. But then I walked out with it in my vest. And I had also a pack of gum in my pocket. It was a crazy time. I mean, this is the, like, I don't know. I mean,
what did your dad say?
Oh. Well, it was horrible. The guy, the store manager walked up and said, sir, your daughter has something that belongs to us.
Oh, God.
And then I like took out one pack of gum, and he was like, that's not the one I was talking about. And then I ran into the parking lot, shaking.
What age were
you? Ran into the parking lot. My dad is like, who the fuck are you? Like, I could have bought you gum. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
I was probably 11. 12.
Mortifying.
So mortifying. Also mortifying is classic from Young People's Magazine, YM Magazine. Did you guys have that in Ireland?
No.
There's a section where kids write in, they're like, my period. It's always period blood that gets everywhere. And it's like, it was mortifying.
Yeah.
But it was truly mortifying. And then I shook my vest, and the gum fell out of my vest, and I kicked it under a car. And then the shop owner came, or the grocery store manager came, and he got there first. My dad was kind of like hobbling behind him, and I had a moment with him where I was like, please don't, please just leave me, like, I'll never come back, I promise. And then he like lifted up his pants, you know, like a man does before he bends down, like just on the thigh part, just a little, yeah, little story detail for you there, just a little, yeah, storytelling.
I like it.
Ads workshop
color.
Paying off.
I know you're being truthful.
He, his tweed pants rose as he pinched with his fingers the pant leg up. And then it just, the story stalls there.
And did he like, kneel
we
down?
Get,
and
we get it. He was wearing pants and he pulled them up. Then he bent down, looked at, under the car, looked at me, looked under the car.
Oh,
my dad
my
had
God.
Arrived by that point, and he said to my dad, your daughter's never allowed in here again. And then that was just my, you know, you don't forget, like, the way my dad was just like, who are you? Like,
yeah,
what the fuck were you thinking?
Jesus.
And, but also the cool thing was the way he slanted, he was like, listen, never do that again. Ever. Never do that again. And, cause he's kind of like an anarchist too. He's like, these, you steal even a penny candy, okay? A penny candy. And these bastards will nail you. Like, he's still kind of a pirate about it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't like, this is wrong. These
yeah.
people. It was more
he was like, watch out. Society
yourself.
Will fuck
yeah.
you. Which
yeah.
is a true thing.
I think it's true.
Were your parents good ones?
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, very good.
How many siblings?
I've got lots. Like, I've got like a lot of sisters and that, and my brother that I was boasting about earlier in Dubai.
Yeah, hydrocolon therapy.
Yeah, big family. And I'm going to see them. I'm going to go home for Christmas time.
Cool.
So yeah, I'm going to
see, I mean,
them
that's
soon.
A tough one because you're so far, like, because for Toronto, the lucky thing is it's like an hour flight, but if you want to go home, that's a far one.
Yeah, it's like six, it's not that bad. It's like 6 hours, 7 hours.
And then but for gigs too, you must, because you've cultivated a thing there. Do you go back
yeah,
for gigs often?
I go back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I've been back like twice this year, and everyone's like, how's it going in America?
Everyone's like, did you make it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing. It's like, have you arrived?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I did a gig at the Housing Works bookstore last night.
Yeah.
Didn't get paid, but I raised money for homeless people with AIDS.
That's just another, I mean, that's another good for you for raising money for, that's what Housing Works does. You were
yeah.
saying that they do great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Homeless people. Also, like, I mean, there's stores, you can get incredible furniture there for not expensive.
Yeah.
Like, beautiful, because rich people give their stuff and then they mm-hmm. just price it for poor people to
yeah,
buy.
Yeah. And it's, they're online as well. I'm always like looking at their furniture online.
Housing Works, guys.
Yeah. Housing Works. And they have like,
put your Duracells in your laptops and check out that website. Make love's a game, wanna play. Is love a game and do you want to play?
Is she asking?
Yeah. She's asking you.
Taylor. My friend worked on her video and said that she just was like, this is like not even celebrity gossip, that she just was like very quiet and just carried her dog around all day.
I mean, because she's gonna have a quiet I met her after a concert and she was just radiating every single, like, oozing the charm that we were just talking
wow.
about, like, just like her, the way she looked me in the eyes, and I was like, what, let's spend our life together, what
really?
Have we been waiting for, let's
cool.
get on this friendship relationship.
I'm trying to think if I've got better gossip than that, but I don't.
Like, I have a good gossip about Rihanna.
I have something about Michael Flatley, but you go first.
You know, you go Michael Flatley.
Michael Flatley has...
I'm looking
so
up Michael
stupid.
Flatley now.
Do you know who he is? The Lord of the Dance.
Oh, he doesn't sing?
No, he doesn't sing. He plays like the flute and he dances. He's American. Like, he's like American Irish. Yeah,
this
that's
him.
Lord of the Dance.
So
he's going to appear.
That'll give you guys an idea.
<He's>
he lives here?
Dancer.
Okay, and then what's
no,
the
deal?
No,
he lives in Ireland, and my dad worked on his house. My dad's in construction.
Yeah.
And he's got a stripper pole in his bedroom.
Oh, shit, Michael Flatley.
So, yeah.
Would you ever take a stripping exercise class? Let me, like, take a guess at what your answer will be.
Honestly, if I thought I had the strength, I would, because I think it's like incredible.
Yeah.
But it would be too humiliating. Also, like, when you take the class, you don't strip, right? You're just like in your...
No, you're just like doing... but you're doing sexy dances.
I need that so badly.
Really?
But I don't have the strength.
I do jokey sexy dances, but, or actually, you know what? When I have like a hip hop persona that I can go into and then feel sexy when I dance.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Did you cultivate it with classes or did you?
Just from, I grew up in like a kind of like a rougher, I moved all the time because my dad was also in construction, but he'd build houses, we'd move into it, and then he'd sell them, and then he'd build another one, we'd move into it. Just as a little builder's tax loophole. cool sound effect there. One of the areas that I spent a lot of time in was like, you know, if you left your garage door open, then like your friend would steal your dad's fishing equipment and you have to be like, Ahmed, we know that you're holding his fishing rod. So like that kind of neighborhood. So then that lends itself to like a hip hop feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like your hip hop style.
Yeah. Definitely. Do I have it?
I think so. Yeah. Like your hat and your hoodie and your great attitude.
Your knife. The knife that you're pointing at me.
Your tattoos.
All my tats. My wife has so many tattoos.
Your bandana.
My bandana.
I had a new idea last night. I was tweeting about it, which is if you want someone to fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Which you've already been successful at, so you don't need to do this, but
I tricked her.
This is what you do. You see the person, you see their tattoos, you take covert photos of their tattoos, you go get exactly the same ones.
Oh shit.
Then you introduce yourself to them and then just feign surprise at their just be like, "Oh, what?
Yes.
I've got Mahatma Gandhi on my bottom," or whatever it is.
On my bottom.
And then or like in a more respectful place. And then they'll be so blown away, they'll fall in love with you.
I wish that I had the applause sound effect.
I thought you were going to say.
This is people with wooden hands.
You wish they had the fourth. Applause. Then banging their pegs together.
I do joke with Shauna that I will get all, because she's got, you know, like countless tattoos, that I will get replicate all of her tattoos.
That would be so funny. But like if she has tons, that would take a while. Like you wouldn't be allowed to get them all at the same time, would you?
Like, I mean, like
the tattoo artist would be like, it's too painful. No.
The state of mind that I've got to be at to actually follow through with it. I mean, that person does not listen to rules.
Yeah, that's true.
That person is looking at the M&M store and being like, hello, Cleveland's beautiful this time of year. Are you ready to call my mom?
Yeah.
Are you interested in the tone that I used when I said that?
Yeah. Was it her or was that just
no, that was just what the way it came out was.
Phone number 4.
Oh no. I keep on forgetting that they keep changing the numbers and trying to run away from me.
She's changing her identity. Whole number.
They're constantly trying to lose me, but I won't let it happen.
Are you going back for the holidays?
I am, yeah. We go to Virginia where my in-laws live, mm-hmm. and then we go to Toronto. I'm dialing my own phone number right now. You know, sometimes things get wacky.
I know.
You know, you think
you're just a girl.
I'm just a young girl, fresh off the period. And
when is your next show? You always host the one that I met you.
That's code for period, right?
When's your next bloody show?
My next bloody show is going to be in approximately 28 days. My
All
next
you're
show
lucky just finished.
Tomorrow night.
No,
that's not true. My wife's birthday is tomorrow night. I think I have a show tonight, but I have to wait for it. I'm not that mm-hmm. good at organizing. So sometimes I wait for the day to pass with Twitter and then I'm like, oh, this is where I'm
going. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's very bad.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is with like no money attached, then you sometimes make a boo-boo and don't write things down properly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk to that mom. Hello? I'm going to be real, real. I didn't give her a heads up.
Hello, New York.
Yo, girl, what's up?
New York, NY. What my telephone is saying.
Yo, so what's happening in T.O.? This is the way she thinks I talk.
Yo, we're getting ready for a little snowstorm tonight.
Yeah? How do you get ready for a snowstorm?
Oh, I don't know. Just lie low.
Lie low.
Don't have any plans. Don't have any plans.
I wish you Stay named home. Me Lilo.
Yeah,
Lilo. Yeah, Lilo. last what night... IQ? What'd you say?
What about IQ?
IQ? I mean, that would have helped with my brain because IQ is connected to brain. Why am I so nervous to talk to you?
Yeah, I don't know why.
We're surfing right now. I'm here with Maeve Higgins, who is from Ireland and just moved here in January.
Hi.
Oh, really? Hi. How do you like it there?
I like it. It just started snowing here just literally before we got in the studio. So it's cold.
Yeah, but so maybe what you're having is moving up here. That's what quite often happens. Like we get what you guys have down there is moving up.
Yeah.
So a bunch of cops in Toronto are going to start killing black people in Canada in about 10 days?
Okay. I don't think it's going to be that bad. They're saying 10 centimeters, but it's the first one of the year, so they're making a little bit of a big deal. Well, sometimes, even if it doesn't snow too much, the roads get really messy, and if it's rush hour, then it's a bad thing. So they're saying probably tomorrow morning rush hour might be bad.
Yeah.
Mom, speaking of rush hour.
I'll be in bed at that time.
What time do you go to bed?
No, for rush hour. Well, I get up whenever I won't feel like it. Usually I get up around 7.
This lady's a rebel.
Sometimes I don't sleep well at night, and then I get up at 8.
So
go with the flow. We go with the flow, Bina. Okay?
Okay, well, speaking of flow,
looking
back at 2014, and knowing that this question's being made up on the fly, but looking back at 2014, can you tell me what the biggest Ursula Fry victory was?
I would say, getting along with both of my sisters at the same time.
Aww. Yeah, that's great. Good.
You, where you I think been. That's the one. And I think that's the one that makes me the happiest.
Yeah, Mom, I'm so happy for you on that one.
Saddest part was my mother died, but then out of that came that, So.
Yeah, that was a good, interesting twist. But I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. So I guess it's a lesson for people. Even if you don't get along with somebody or you have problems, eventually, if you want, things can be worked out. Most of the time. I mean, the thing is, if, one side is completely unreasonable, then maybe not. But if both sides are reasonable and wanted, I think it can be worked out,
Yeah, my cab driver last night was telling me about his family problems. He's Pakistani, and his brothers, they opened a bunch of Dunkin' Donuts here, and then one of his brothers stole all the Dunkin' Donuts.
See, that's the thing. I don't know why people are like that, but if you talk to families, almost in every family there's a story. There's a story about something, and you look at some families and you think, oh, wow, they're the perfect family. They have everything. They get along. They're happy. But if you know, the details, it's not quite often not like that.
That's a good reminder during the holiday season, Because everybody's going home to spend time with their family.
The thing is, I don't know why some people feel that they're entitled to everything and, it's okay to rip other people off. And the sad part is quite often these people who do that, they don't even see that they're doing something wrong.
No, because they feel entitled to it.
Yeah.
But not us and our perfect family.
Yeah. The sad thing is the times that you lose, you can never get them back. Right?
Yeah.
Whatever
time is
not
limitless.
You never get it back, Yeah.
All right. So those are good lessons, Mom. I love you very much. Maeve also loves you.
I love you both. Aww. I love you both.
Thank you. Yes, stay warm tonight.
We'll try to stay warm. I'll knit some more gloves, maybe.
I'm very happy for you and your reunitation with your sisters. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Okay,
I love you.
All right.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Have a good evening. Bye.
Bye.
That was a cute one.
Yeah.
She's so being so good on this podcast, opening up so much. I like it.
Very generous of her.
Yeah. I also like it. You want to be friends?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. guys, this has been an episode of My Sexy Podcast. Do you want to, maybe you say the last thing?
Okay, I guess. Happy Christmas. Happy holidays.
You really opened up. You'll be screaming
out for more when I'm happy at the red faces and our, funny in red looks. Give me till the count for, cause I know you want to hear me say, and I go, ooh.
what you're missing. Just take off your clothes and touch the lips that you'll be kissing.